Station sponsor.
Sally really loves your class, but she's lacking in confidence. She stopped doing her homework because, well, she says she's no good at it. What can we do to get her excited again?
Every single day, teacher education graduates face situations that go beyond theory. That's why we teach our students to be creative thinkers, because creative thinking can be your superpower. ECU, creative thinkers made here. Search ECU and apply now.
Are you looking for a gift for that special person in your life? Maybe for an anniversary, a loyal employee, or a birthday, or graduation. Whatever the reason, station sponsor Grazie Gifts have a massive range of gift basket and hamper options to suit all occasions. So, to choose the right gift for that special person and order online, visit grazie.com.au. That's grazie.com.au.
This is a station sponsor.
At John Hughes Cherry, Prindleville Drive, Wangara, you get a brand new, beautifully styled Cherry Emoto 5 with leather sport seats, alloy wheels, keyless entry, rear dynamic view camera, wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto and smartphone charging, a massive interactive LCD, and plenty of active and passive safety features. Plus, you get a 7-year unlimited kilometre new car warranty, roadside assist and cat price servicing, all from $31,490. Hurry, they're selling fast.
johnhughes.com.au
DL6061.
Give your business a unique position right here. Go to 897fm.com.au.
This is 897FM News.
National Radio News.
Good afternoon, I'm Laura Devoy. The ACT's Integrity Commission is assessing corruption allegations regarding the conduct of former Queensland Solicitor General Walter Sofronoff KC. Frank Bonacorso reports.
Walter Sofronoff led the ACT government's Board of Inquiry into the criminal justice system, which reviewed the prosecution of Bruce Lehrman. Mr. Lehrman was charged with the rape of Brittany Higgins, but his criminal trial was aborted due to juror misconduct, and there were no findings against him. In a statement, the ACT Integrity Commission says its assessments relate to disclosures made by Mr. Sofronoff to media representatives during the course of the Board of Inquiry and the leaking of his report.
The New South Wales State Emergency Service received more than 300 calls for help this morning alone amid heavy rainfall. A severe weather warning for heavy rainfall has been issued for all of Greater Sydney, including much of the central and south coasts and stretching into the central and southwest. The Weather Bureau says flash flooding is likely and there are fears Warragamba Dam, Sydney's main drinking supply, will spill. New South Wales SES Deputy Commissioner Deborah Platts told the ABC there have been more than 800 calls for help this week.
Predominantly, those calls for assistance have been for fallen trees, leaking roofs, and sandbagging many houses and also some aged care and childcare facilities.
A report by the Israeli military into the killing of 7 aid workers is expected to be made public tomorrow. There's been widespread condemnation of the Israeli airstrike in Gaza, which killed 7 World Central Kitchen aid workers, including Australian woman Zomi Frankham. A spokesman for the Israel Defence Forces says an investigation has been completed and the report given to the countries of the victims. Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner says the Israeli military was sorry for the very grave mistake of misidentification. Australia is better placed to meet its winter domestic gas demand than earlier predictions as supply forecasts are revised up and expectations marked down. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission is now forecasting a 6 petajoule surplus in the September quarter, even if producers were to export all their uncontracted gas. That's an improvement on the 5 petajoule shortfall expected last December. Federal Resources Minister Madeleine King says Queensland was doing the heavy lifting in securing gas supply for the entire East Coast. A new virtual emergency centre from the Royal Flying Doctors Service has opened in William Creek, 800 kilometres north of Adelaide. The new facility will support community members and tourists in Central Australia in need of medical assistance. It's offering emergency services, dental, occupational therapy and GP services. Dr Marty Steer told The Wire the new facility is a big upgrade from previous services.
We've been visiting William Creek as the RFDS to provide primary care and emergency care when needed, but we've had to provide all of our care in the local pub. And so having a purpose-built facility really helps us increase the quality of what we can offer.
Turning to sport, Red Bull's Max Verstappen has topped the timesheets in the first Formula One practice session ahead of the Japanese Grand Prix. The session was red flagged after Logan Sargeant crashed into the barriers. 22-year-old Japanese driver Ayumu Iwasa drove Daniel Ricciardo's car amid rumours the Australian could be unseated at RB. There'll be another practice session this afternoon and tomorrow before qualifying and the race on Sunday.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Travel Show here on 89.7 FM. My name's Rhonda. It's 5 minutes past 12 and this is your local community radio station coming to you live and local from our premises here in Joondalup. The Travel Show comes to you once a month on the first Friday of the month. And sadly, the guest that was meant to come in today can't make it in. But we're very lucky that I have another person that would love to come on the show. Been on the show once before a couple of years ago. I'd like to welcome Barry O'Sullivan to the show.
Hello, Rhonda. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Barry. Thanks. Yes,
this is an unusual time slot for me on a Friday. I'm normally busting in to see Cambo in a couple of hours to give him a rundown of what maybe some of the songs that we've got coming up with Friday on My Mind, which I do with Margaret and previously with Betty as well. So, yeah, it's like lunchtime.
Well, Barry has got a history in travel. He used to work for Tourism WA and still is one of the judges there on the panel, aren't you, Barry?
Oh, for the Tourism Awards. The Tourism Awards themselves are run by Tourism Council WA. I think they're partly funded by the state government via Tourism WA. Tourism WA is a state government agency. Tourism Council WA is like a lobby group. They have memberships of all the people who run the businesses out there, and they put on the awards once a year, which is
How long have you been involved in that?
A few years now. It's good, and I try to get out of it, but they keep drawing me back. So,
well, you must be the man for the job.
Well, it's fun, and it's, you cast a set of, I guess, experienced eyes over the applications. And previously, when we were doing the judging, you would actually do a site visit to some of the properties, but not the properties that you were going to be critiquing their written submission. So there was no sort of bias or anything like that. So it was that was different. So now things have changed because of COVID. So the site visits have now been replaced by just it's a written application, and there are some good ones out there. And a good one predominantly just tells a story about who you are, what you do, how you got to where you are, and how you work with people. Those sorts of things. Some basic things. But so many businesses completely stuff it up.
Well, I guess that they're busy running the business, and sometimes paperwork isn't a thing that they're familiar with.
And sometimes you can be really familiar with your business, but you've got to see it with different eyes, because I'm going to be reading your application and I'm not in your business. I know nothing about your business, and that's how you've got to attack writing a submission, or a successful submission anyway. Is just take it from the point of view that whoever's reading it doesn't know anything about your business. Because if you happen to win a gold category at the WA ones, you automatically go into the nationals, and your submission, you can't change it from the WA one to the national. So if you're making assumptions about, oh, you know, when you travel down south or whatever, you've really got to explain it to the full, because your submission at the nationals might be read by somebody from Tasmania or from Queensland or from the Northern Territory or from wherever. So you've just got to be a little bit more succinct and smart about it. But
I mean, it's a prestigious thing to win an award, isn't it? And obviously there might be some new businesses that have come in, and some of them have been putting in applications for years, haven't they?
They have, yeah. And a lot of businesses, you know, just one of our own sponsors, the Gravity Discovery Centre, keep batting away every year, and Jan and the team there do an absolutely fantastic job. And they, through their Joondalup Business Association, which they're a member of, they get a lot of support as well, and the Joondalup Business Association support us at the station, and obviously we support them as well. So
yeah, we've had a few people that have won awards come on in the show, and they're very, very proud about it.
They are, yeah. It's hard work. It's all driven by passion. Yes. Essentially.
Yeah. It'd be good for you to see new companies come on board.
It is, yeah. And in fact, when I left Tourism WA, I was at Small Business Development Corporation for a little while, and I convinced them to spend some money and sponsor the new tourism category. Sadly, they really couldn't see the compatibility between small business and tourism. Go figure that one. But anyway, that was past tense. And so that association only lasted a couple of years.
So how many applications would you have? Like hundreds, are we talking?
Yes, there are. The judges, we judge in a cohort. You don't know who the other two judges you're judging with are. And we might have 20 submissions, 20 10,000-word submissions to read over the course of probably 3 weeks. And then once they're done, you critique and you score. We all do it all online, so you can pretty much do it from anywhere. And then at the end of it, that cohort, we all get together on what they call deliberation day, and we go through the scores. Well, you scored them seven. I scored them a seven. You scored them a 6.5. So we're fine. We tick off that one. Sometimes the scores can really vary, and it depends on how the individual has looked at a particular answer for a particular question. And it can be some robust discussions, let's say. And at the end of that, we have to all agree, and then it gets signed off by an auditor so that the auditor's happy. And then the head of judging can make some last-minute changes. And
then you have an awards night, don't you, where they're all presented?
We do indeed, and that's the, I guess that's the bonus of judging is you don't get paid for it, quite honestly. But we do get a couple of tickets to the awards night.
But it keeps you in the loop too of what's happening in WA, doesn't it?
And having worked for Tourism WA, it's good to catch up with a lot of old faces, not only from the organisation, but also people in the industry, which tend not to change a lot.
How did you get into the industry? Is it your love of travel, or?
No, it was interesting. I finished school in third year, was wanted to go to TAFE, as it was in those days, and do drafting, or architectural drafting, as it was called. So I did that for a year. But I failed one subject, and back in those days, if you failed a subject, bearing in mind I was catching two buses to get to Leaderville from Belmont, if you failed a subject, you had to go back and repeat it at night school before going on to the next year. So you basically spent a whole year doing one subject on a whatever given night it was, or maybe a couple of nights. And I went, nah, this is just all too hard. So Mum said, join the public service. You'll have a job for life. And I pretty much did. So I ended up working at the Ag Department. And I was there for 8 years in accounts, and it was interesting time, let's put it that way. It was classic public service. And then I put in for a job with tourism and wrote an application. I got an interview, and during the interview, the guy said, look, you won't get this job because it's a level higher than you know what you currently are, but go back to work, put in a request for transfer. The next one that comes up, we'll give it to you. So I was quite buoyed by that and went back to the staff clerk, as they had in those days, and said, oh, I want to put in for a transfer to tourism. And he just laughed. He said, do you know how many people want to do that? So I took great delight in 3 weeks later going back and laughing at him, saying, guess where I'm going?
And how long did you stay
and
there?
And I went straight to Sydney. So Sydney office, and my girlfriend at the time, we weren't even engaged. I had about 5 weeks between when I heard that I was going to Sydney and I actually had needed to start. So we got engaged and married in 4 weeks. And
but she wanted to follow you?
Oh, I think it was mutual. And we had 3 years in Sydney. We had just a wonderful, wonderful time. Made lifelong friends. It was just wonderful, and then came back and in a variety of roles at Tourism WA, and you know, in Kalgoorlie, Norseman, and and the city. Got to travel overseas a few times to New Zealand and South Africa, and also visit every capital around Australia as well. That was prior to the America's Cup being held here. So that was sort of from mid to late 1996. We were doing all the boat shows because they figured boaty people will want to come and watch the America's Cup. And so we were doing a lot of WA promotions all around Australia, and I was doing all those.
Sounds a lovely job.
That was hard work. It was really hard work, but it was, you got to ship it, build a display, man it for the days, pull it all down, ship it off to the next place and then go again kind of thing. So
yeah, but it made you be able to see different parts around Australia, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes when you get to a place you don't get to see a lot of it because you're on a tight time frame. But what I would generally do back in the days when I was doing a lot of running, whenever I got to a place, I'd strap on the ASICs and just go running for an hour or so.
Well, you see a lot of the place by doing that too.
Exactly,
can't you?
And you get lost and then you've got to find yourself again, yeah. And all sorts of things. And that same also went for country towns in WA, yes, when I was doing a lot of tripping around there. So that's the abridged version, if you like.
I had a job similar to that in New Zealand where I worked for a bank and we were installing new computer equipment at every single branch in New Zealand.
Wow.
So we just hopped on
on
a Monday.
Were they 386s or 486s?
They didn't have wheels that you did like Flintstones, Barry. They were real planes. But I went to every town in New Zealand that had a bank. So that was for 18 months. So we hop on a plane on a Monday, hop off on a Friday, and rental cars and motels and expenses accounts and restaurants and, great life. I got to see every little nook and cranny of New Zealand.
That's amazing. So, having had a couple of trips to New Zealand, just loved it. In fact, I think I went 4 times to New Zealand, and just a wonderful country and just wonderful people.
Yes, of course we are.
Yeah. And the travel shows we were at, which were both for trade, these are the travel agents, yes, out there, and also the public, so they're on different days. And the there's the guys on security at the door, 6'4", big Maori, but the gentlest souls, they are just amazing, and we've got a real good sense of family.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
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 So, Barry, when you were younger, did your family go on lots of holidays?
No, it was my mum, my sister and myself. Dad passed away when I was 4, so really have no memory there at all. Look, we probably got taken on holidays. I remember going to Mandurah and doing some crabbing and staying at one of the rickety old caravan parks in an on-site thing.
Nice memories, though.
Lean-to on the side. Oh, great memories. Yeah, yeah. And uncle and auntie still have a shack up at Wedge Island.
Wow.
I think they were number 30 when they built it. So they were really, in the first run.
And they're still there, those cabins?
Well, yeah, they are. There's hundreds and hundreds of them now.
Wow.
But, Brian used to play baseball for the state, and Joy, my auntie, she used to play softball for the state. So it was quite a marriage there.
In New Zealand, we used to go over for family holiday every Christmas. We just used to go to a beach up on the coast, borrowed a caravan. See, those were the days. You made your own fun, didn't you? Borrowed lilos and...
Absolutely, yeah. We'll probably get to it a little bit later, but I'm heading off ultimately to Exmouth to go and swim with the whale sharks.
Lovely, and that's something I haven't done.
Yeah.
We were in New Zealand and we did take a boat cruise down off Akaroa to see the dolphins, apparently the smallest dolphins in the world, called Hector dolphins.
Oh.
And everyone hopped in the water with them. I was the only one that didn't hop in the water. Oh. I had like 20 cameras on me. And I was taking photos of everyone. But that's okay. I was a little bit out of my depth being thrown in the water. But if you can do it, that's good.
Yeah. And so we're doing that up in Exmouth. But as an aside, one of the trips I had up to Exmouth for work was actually with the then minister's tourism advisor. We were up there, I think it was, see how the recovery from Cyclone Vance was going. And wildlife doesn't stop. It might be a blow for a day or so, but then the turtles keep coming and things like that. And we're up there in February, so it was the end of the late February, it was the end of the hatching season, and one of the tour operators took us out one night to one of the turtle rookeries, hatcheries, whatever you call them, and he identified where a nest was on the ground. And what happens is that when these little fellas bust out of the egg, they climb their way out to the top and then make their way down to the water. But earlier ones at the bottom, they're all covered in shell, and when there's a little bit of sand falls in every time one of these fellas comes out. So we got there, we're kneeling around this thing and just dig, 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 dig. And then he says, stick your hand right down the bottom. And you get down there and you feel these little flippers tickling your hand. So you pull it up and there's this little fella,
Oh, magic.
Just put him on the sand, let him go down to the water's edge. Oh, yeah. Mate, that was, that's something that just will stay with me forever. We were there for about an hour.
Do you think they still do that sort of thing?
Don't know. Don't know that it was actually kosher at the time. So if anybody from...
You saved a little critter's life.
Well, several, actually, yeah. Because the other thing is that there's a lot of predators on the beach, you know, from monitor lizards, goannas, and even bird life that will be waiting around for when these guys come out and grab them. So we're taking them down to the water, give them the best chance, because only one in a thousand survive.
It's not good odds, is it?
No.
No.
So that was special time.
Well, it's 20 past. Always at 20 past, we stop for a sponsor break. And then we'll come back afterwards and we'll continue talking about different destinations and our experiences and travel around WA, a subject that Barry and I just love talking about. We're going to play a song straight after the break called Driver's Seat, because Barry and I both, not together, but we are both going away shortly and our caravans are hitting the road, and we thought we'd play this song called Driver's Seat because we will both probably be in the driver's seat, but we will be checking out more destinations ourselves, and we'll probably be able to tell you all about those when we come back. So it's 21 minutes past now. You're on 89.7 FM on The Travel Show. My name's Rhonda, and Barry and I will be back with you again shortly.
Have you ever wanted to look at the stars up close? Well, now you can. Station sponsor the Gravity Discovery Centre will open a whole new world of amazement for you. Located north of Perth, just off Indian Ocean Drive, the Gravity Discovery Centre has something for everyone, with a great range of attractions. Climb the Leaning Tower, explore the Cosmology Gallery, get up close in the Biodiversity Gallery, and take in the marvels of the Milky Way at the Observatory. For more information, bookings and tickets, go to gravitycentre.com.au.
Every year, hundreds of schools around WA have their school photos taken by a specialist school photographer. And Capture Photography has been doing this for over 17 years. No other school photographer puts as much effort into providing WA's highest quality photographic products. If you are part of a school management team, a PNC member, or even a parent wanting the very finest school photos, get in touch with the team at capture.com.au. That's Capture with a K. Station sponsor.
Welcome back to the Travel Show here on 89.7 FM. Thanks very much for your company today. I've got Barry O'Sullivan with me. I used to work for Tourism WA and now a judge on the panel there. And Barry is quite well travelled. He's got a trip coming up. I'll just tell you where he's heading off to. In a camper trailer, him and his wife are heading to Geraldton, then Kalbarri, to Warramal Station, to Carnarvon, Exmouth, and then back to Coral Bay and back to Perth again. Barry, we'll start off saying Geraldton. You know that area well?
I do. My son, daughter-in-law, and two granddaughters live up there. Jay is a teacher. He went up there as his first teaching post. Now he's an acting deputy at the high school.
You must like it up there.
Senior. Oh, it's lovely. They're outdoorsy. The girls do a right into their dance, so they do a lot of dancing.
It's about a five-hour drive, is it, Barry?
If you've got a really slow car, I'd buy a different car. Yeah, look, you can do it in four and a bit.
And you'll be towing a camper, so maybe five?
Well, the camper's actually in Geraldton. It's my son's, so we're borrowing that. And I've never towed a camper trailer before, so this is going to be...
We better send out an alert.
Yeah. And thus we're having reasonably short-ish days, so it's a bit of a shakedown trip as a forerunner to potentially getting our own camper trailer and then tripping off a lot more.
Yes, exactly.
Tell
us a little bit about Geraldton. I've only been there once, but I was only there for like 3 or 4 days. I didn't have a good look around. What is here for people to see in Geraldton?
Well, I mean, again, harking back to my early tourism days and travelling to Geraldton, if anybody's ever been there and you know where the Dome Coffee Lounge is, right on the beachfront there, you've got the harbour. If you're looking out at the ocean, you've got your harbour to your left, and up a little bit further on the right is the Geraldton Museum, which is fantastic, and it's got parts of the old Batavia in there as well, which is just, you know,
big part
of Australian history. But back in the day when I first got there, there used to be a railway line along the front there that just inhibited anybody going to that beach or any activity or whatever it may be. Now it's actually really great. It's fantastic. They've done a lot. There's a water playground. There's a sports play area as well for kids. And, it's just lovely. And there are – it's a coastal place. So it's like
– the fishing would be good.
The fishing is pretty good. There's good surfing. There's obviously windsurfing anywhere on the coast from Geraldton down to Mandurah, basically, is very good for windsurfing. People say that Geraldton's always a windy place, but you go down to Scarborough Beach and stand there when the sea breezes in, and it's not really any stronger up in Geraldton than it is down there. The town is... it was kind of interesting. It probably should have been built on the waterfront, but there was a train line there. And so slowly things are being opened up. There's a lovely Dome Coffee Lounge right on the forefront there. And there's a little amphitheatre as well where they have shows and performers and things like that. And then there's the activities at the port itself, which is always intriguing to see, you know, ships coming in and the, you know, the big horns getting blown and things like that. So, and, you know, the port's an integral part of the area with mining but also farming and wheat exports, you know, and Geraldton's one of the major, one of the major wheat producing areas up there as well. So you get a good, and there's some great shopping centre. There's major shopping centre up there as well. And then you're only a hop, skip and a jump to Kalbarri or some of the places further inland.
It's a good stop over, isn't it, for the night on your way further north. And then you're heading to Kalbarri, which is a beautiful spot.
Yeah, we've got a minimum of 2 nights stay at places. And because if you're going to go anywhere, you don't want to be, particularly if you're using a camper trailer, you've got to open it all up.
Yeah, put it back down again.
There's no point in flopping it out back in again the next day. So yes, you stay 2 nights, so you get one full day at a place. And that's one thing that I guess working in retail tourism taught me all those years ago.
Well, it's got a lovely waterfront too there. And I think I remember when we were there, they had some pelicans come up.
Yeah, I
think hopefully they still do.
Pelicans are a bit of an institution, I think. They do quad bike tours, I think, still, which I'd be keen to do.
What we did was we got a boat, just a little dinghy, from the shore over to one of the little islands, like a sand island, yeah. And then we had a four-wheel, like a dune buggy tour
okay.
over there, and the guy was driving us around the island. The kids found that really great.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got Nature's Window at the top, beautiful views
in
from
the,
there.
In the national park there, mm. yeah. My son and daughter-in-law and the girls are actually in Kalbarri at the moment because it's school holidays, so teachers obviously get a break. And, Bonnie, Jay's wife, her phone's now at the bottom of a gorge somewhere.
Oh, no. Taking photos and dropped it?
Oh, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
So, yeah, a bit sad.
And they've opened a new, a cantilever.
Yes. A skywalk. Yeah. So, we're keen to have a look
yes, at that. Yes, I'll be keen to have a look at that as well.
So,
I don't know if you have to pay to go out on it or not. I'm not
probably.
Sure.
Probably. I mean, it cost a few dollars to put in. Mm. I've only seen photos of it. I haven't been there yet, so I'm keen to do that as part of a trek out to the national park. And Kalbarri is one of those rare places in WA where you've got a really good, clean river. You've got the coast. You've got wonderful beaches. You've got really good surfing and spectacular coastline.
Mm.
And the other thing that is great to do in Kalbarri is an afternoon sunset cruise along the cliffs there. That's just
you've done one of those.
Oh, just wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely
We hired a dinghy. You can hire them yourselves. And we just took our fishing rods and we went on down the river.
Oh, great.
You know, so even if you don't want to go on a
you
big
get a
tour.
Feed?
Little sprats, I'd call them. Not really enough for dinner. I think we went to the fish and chip shop. Hey, but it was the experience
hang on, this
that
is
count.
Coming from someone who comes from the country where they eat white bait.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes. Millions of them to make one little fritter.
Exactly. And I've had them over there and they are delicious.
Yeah. Just don't look at them because you don't want all little eyes looking at your back. Now, something, Barry, this is very interesting, which I haven't done yet, which I'm looking forward to. You're going to be staying at two stations.
Yeah.
The Warramal Station and the Ballara Station.
Yeah. They're one of the, I guess, they're functioning stations and... But to diversify many, many years ago, a lot of businesses, not necessarily these two, although they've done it, branched out into hospitality or tourism. And I know Ballara, I have been there before, but it was many, many years ago, so I'd be keen to see the improvements and what's different. And Ballara is, so you head south, or in basically inland from Coral Bay. And... Warramal Station is between Carnarvon and Kalbarri, and it's rustic. You can generally, they'll have, you know, limited cafes. You can get a coffee if you want.
At the station. Wow.
Ballara, on one of the nights that we're there, they said, oh, you're going to be here on a Wednesday night, so we get our chefs in. They get chefs in from Exmouth, I think, who are from overseas, they're French chefs or whatever, and they cook up a storm. So they actually send you the menu so you can order your food
well, that's
for
exciting.
When you get there. Yeah, so that's pretty specky.
I know they have, I've seen pictures of them around the fire at night, the old campfire,
there's,
having stories.
There's all sorts of activities to, keep people engaged, but also because, as you know, doing a travel show, that the best form of advertising is word of mouth.
Mm.
And if somebody goes away happy...
They will tell others.
Absolutely will. You know,
they
won't tell
how
us,
much it
they
is
won't
to
tell
stay?
As many. Look, I can't tell you. If I dig back through my emails, because I've done the bookings.
40, I don't know.
So we're only camping. When I went to Ballara the first time, I stayed in the old shearers' quarters. And now things have changed with that. And, so it's going to be a great trip. Warramal Station, for instance, I think one of the nights is burger night, another night spaghetti night. So they'll do meals of an evening. So you can then have a couple of drinks, because they will sell drinks and all
wow.
sorts of things. So they create this great atmosphere.
Yeah, good on them.
You
know, sometimes farming is hard, you know. You have droughts, you have floods, and so to look to diversify is a good idea.
Yeah, and I know that the shore crosses at Ballara have done a remarkable job. So I'll be just keen to see them and maybe sprout the virtues of them putting a submission into the Tourism Awards.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because then that just gives another level of recognition.
Yeah, we'll be interested to see all the information you've garnered when you come back.
Yeah, the interesting thing with a place like that, it's probably up against maybe a 3-star hotel or something like that. So you're not really comparing apples with apples. So there's not a farm stay accommodation category, even though there's about 27 different categories. Farm stay is not one of them.
Ah, maybe you should look that into that, Barry.
Well, yeah. If only. Yep.
We've had Mary Nienke come in. She's way down in Cookerin. And she's done a lot down there to get that little country town on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I used to work with a guy. When I first joined tourism and went to Sydney, there was a guy there doing a sales rep's job, and he was from Cookerin.
There you go. Small world. It's not a big place.
Very. Oh, no.
And then you also.
I do know that I used to have a tractor pull.
Oh, that's so country, isn't it?
The Track Mac. Yes, exactly. Track the Pull and Machinery Show.
Then you're heading off to Carnarvon. Well, we've been to Carnarvon and we went up to see the old satellite station. That's really interesting.
Yeah, and again, I haven't been to the satellite station for years and years. And in a previous role I had, I was sort of looking at improving the tourism product out there. And one of the things that I thought of was the satellite station, which was basically just, it was nothing. It was just there. It was just like the dish, you know, kind of pointed towards the sky. But now I understand it's up to a standard. It's a museum now and you can go in there and enjoy everything about it. And so I'd be keen to see that as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And then we head to the most beautiful place, I reckon, Exmouth. You just can't say anything bad about the place, can you?
Yeah, it can get quite warm there. So hopefully that when we're going from whatever the second week of May through to the end of May, where we arrive back in Geraldton.
But the beaches are beautiful.
Beaches are lovely, and Turquoise Bay is just one of my.
It's been voted one of the best beaches in the world, I think.
All time favourites, yeah.
It's just clear as far as you can see. This beautiful turquoise colour. Sometimes you can be the only person on the beach.
Yeah, I remember there snorkeling there with my ex-wife and. She, you know, I was holding her hand. We were just drifting along, and then this manta ray just took off from the. And we're in about 4 feet of water, so it's not very. And the grip on my hand just went tighter and tighter and tighter, pretty much cut off the circulation.
Oh, funny!
But yeah,
and of course, there's not only.
But
the
when
beauty
I say
of the beaches,
we're still good friends.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You didn't push.
No, I didn't keep her under or anything like that.
There's also the inside. Shothole Canyon is a beautiful drive in a four-wheel drive, and that's all just red dirt. And
head down the cut. You go over the top, past the lighthouse, around down on the west coast, and then you can as you said, drive over the top through Shothole Canyon. It's just
absolutely
beautiful.
So you've got the red, and then you've got the blue.
It's lovely.
Yeah, and we stayed at the lighthouse caravan park just underneath.
Another one.
What a view! Oh. And there were emus walking around the caravan site. Yeah, beautiful.
Emus inhabit that town a lot.
But little baby ones just wandering around the caravan park. Kids were fascinated.
With their dads.
Yes.
We all know that.
Yep. And then Yardi Creek.
Oh.
Went on a little boat tour down Yardi Creek, and then you can walk along the top and look down the wildlife there.
Well, it was a guy, for the life of me, I can't remember his name, McLeod. It was his surname. He used to run tours up in Exmouth, and now last I heard, he was down in Margaret River running tours down there. But he was famous for his mum's fruitcake
on the tours.
Yeah. Absolutely, But he was great. He was wonderful.
Well, it's 22. It's amazing how time flies when you're talking. Yeah, I've only got 20 minutes left,
I haven't
Barry.
Talked this much on radio for a long time.
Oh, you've been let out.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just go to another short break and then we'll be back with a song by Shannon Noel called Drive, because Barry and I are going to be hitting the road soon, driving around this beautiful state of ours. We'll try and tell you a few more bits and pieces about destinations in the last 20 minutes of the show. Thanks very much for tuning in to 89.7 and The Travel Show.
This is a station sponsor.
At John Hughes Cherry, Prindleville Drive, Wangara, you get a brand new, beautifully styled Cherry Emota 5 with leather sports seats, alloy wheels, keyless entry, rear dynamic view camera, wireless Apple CarPlay, Android Auto and smartphone charging, a massive interactive LCD, and plenty of active and passive safety features. Plus, you get a 7-year unlimited kilometre new car warranty, roadside assist and cat price servicing, all from $31,490. Hurry, they're selling fast.
johnhughes.com.au
DL6061.
The City of Wanneroo, corporate sponsor, proudly supporting 89.7 FM.
Visit the Wanneroo Regional Museum and delve into the fascinating history of the City of Wanneroo. The museum has become a favourite with families who love to drop in and take part in fun, diverse and interactive children's activities. To plan your visit, head to wanneroo.wa.gov.au/Wanneroo Regional Museum.
Proudly brought to you by 89.7 FM.
Are you running a local business? Join over 440 businesses and become a Wanneroo Business Association member today for just $30. Access free networking and educational events, business advice and promotion, and be part of a supportive community. Visit wba.asn.au for more information.
89.7.
listening to The Travel Show here on 89.7 FM. My name's Rhonda. We've got just under 15 minutes left of the show here today. Yes, before Cambo comes in. He's knocking on the door already, waiting to come in for the next show.
He was disappointed that I'm not from the Parkerville Tavern.
And you're not wearing a dress. You're not Karen. But Barry has been doing a bit of research, going through his notes. He's going to tell us a little bit about the stations. What were they offering there, Barry?
Yeah, well, I just had a look at Warrumbool because it's early days. You get recommendations, you book, and then you kind of find out what it's all about later. But they do nightly meals there as well. So obviously people who are camping
in a tent,
could be in tents or whatever, generally look for a camp kitchen, but they will do meals every night of the week. And they're also open for barista coffee and some baked goods early morning.
Yeah, tell us some of the nights. Well, they've got a different menu.
Well, Monday night is a 12-hour smoked meat with char grilled corn, coleslaw and pickled veggies for $35. So you wouldn't get that at the Parmelia. Gourmet smoked sausages on a Tuesday. Camp oven slow cooked on the fire pits. Fire roasted veggies plus damper on a Wednesday. Italian night with scallopini and pasta on a Friday. Pie night on Thursdays. Barbecue on the fire pits on Saturdays, and traditional outback roast with vegetables on a Sunday.
Doesn't sound like roughing it, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't really. So it's going to be more of a gourmet tour than. So that'll be a bit of fun.
You better take your running shoes, Barry, because you might be eating too much.
Well, I don't do a lot of running these days. So I'm starting to play. I'm back playing hockey tomorrow, but at my pace, you really don't call it running. I've got a brand new pair of Asics that are really comfortable on my feet, but I won't take them.
They're
going to
get very dirty.
They will get very red very, very quickly.
And that dye is hard to get out.
Oh, the pindan. I love it. Yeah, it's wonderful.
One more stop Barry's going to do is Coral Bay, which is a beautiful spot. And as Barry said, you're very lucky to get a caravan site there because it's absolutely packed. And from what I can remember, there's only like two places in town to put your van in.
And I got lucky. I rang them and they said, you'll be lucky. Oh, hang on a second. We've had a couple of cancellations. One was right on the front, but we've got a camper trailer, so we're going
to
be
putting stakes
in the ground. Well, it's more of a hard stand for a caravan, so we gave that one up. We're out on the lawn, so we can hammer in and lay out.
Yeah, packed a little bit like sardines in there, but, I mean, it's worth it to go over to the beach and do snorkeling in Coral Bay.
It's lovely. Mm. Yeah. No, I've done a couple of trips out from Coral Bay. In fact, again, on a work trip, it sounds like I had the biggest junket job in the world, and it pretty much was. Was up there with the manager of the marketing area. He was coming up for one of the regional meetings that I had to attend. So he was a bit of a background in water sports and snorkeling and things like that. So we're up there for this meeting, which was the following day. And bearing in mind, when you go to these places, the logistics of getting to Coral Bay, you've got to fly into Learmonth, generally get your car, probably go into Exmouth, get some lunch or whatever, and then back down to Coral Bay, which is about 150 k's away, I think. So an hour and a half.
Petrol is quite expensive, I must admit, in that area.
Yeah, and he said, "Oh, let's go for a snorkel." After we checked into the hotel, which is where the meeting was the next morning, so we get down to the beach and there was an old caravan. There was a guy in a hammock just out the front, who was apparently he's a retired chiropractor from Geraldton, making the most of life. I said, "Yeah, look, we want to hire some gear to go for a snorkel." Said, "Oh yeah, just grab your gear, fix me up when you get back." I said, "Where would you suggest to go?" He said, "Would you see that point over there, which was Point Maud from the beach? It's to just swim just there for 75 metres and then turn left." You know how hard to do hard that is to do in the water? We did it, and we found what he called Ayers Rock, which is this big, huge bommy, probably the size of this room, with this biggest fish floating around and underneath it and things like that. That was just amazing.
Secret spot.
It was lovely.
We went to Maud's Landing, which too was beautiful, and we were the only people on the beach. That's a lovely spot.
Yeah, it is nice. And there was talk many, many years ago of building a resort there.
Yes, there was, and I don't think it went ahead.
Oh, definitely didn't.
And too many people were up in arms about it.
Yeah, I was actually working in the minister's office at the time, so that was an interesting time.
Yes.
So that was the
Minister for
Tourism.
And you can get a glass bottom boat. I think we did a glass bottom boat tour when we were there.
Yep.
And we didn't have snorkeling gear with us, but you can either buy it at the shops there or you can hire it, as she said.
Yeah. Well, the guy who runs the glass bottom boat and a couple of other tours up there, Roger, he's a good friend of Kay's. So they're going to reacquaint. In fact, they reacquainted at the Tourism Awards last year because he was down for it. So we'll catch up with him and find out what's what and who's who in the zoo up there.
Yeah, that's great.
Because his dad used to run tours up there as well, so it's a generational thing that they've created in Coral Bay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely spot. All right, now we're heading away. We're not going as far as Barrie. We're going to York and Beverley. I love going to these little country towns because there is so much history in those towns and the people are just so lovely. They're usually, as you say, generations of people that have lived there. We're staying in an unusual place in York and I'll be able to tell you about it when we come back. It's actually on an airfield and not many people know about
it.
It's a private airfield.
Oh.
I'll have to look it up, but it's got a little sort of a water feature around there, like a little lake.
Okay.
And there's a restaurant, maybe some of the locals come in there, and a bar. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. We've had a few people from York on the travel show. We had the guy that has the car place in York. He came onto the show. But Beverley, I'm interested to see. And a few months ago, we went down to Margaret River. Now, Barrie, that's just another iconic spot, isn't it? There's wineries, there's breweries, lots of four-wheel driving, cheese factories, chocolate factories.
And the coast.
The coast.
And everything else that goes with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's so many places that you can hop in the car and go to. Have you got a favourite, Barrie, or hard to say, isn't it? You did love Broome, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Favourite. The countryside and the magnitude of it around Kununurra, absolutely spectacular.
And I haven't been up there.
With Lake Argyle, the Carboyd Ranges as you fly in, out to El Questro Station and everything associated with that. Emma Gorge, just absolutely magnificent. I mean, there are so many wonderful, wonderful places out there. It's about the scenery, but it's also about the experiences you can have. And, you know, before we shut up, I, back in my tourism days, at one point I was regional manager for tourism based in Kalgoorlie, looking after the goldfields. A colleague of mine was regional manager for the Great Southern based in Albany, and so we were chatting and said, look, the people in Esperance are crying out for some sort of help and, you know, direction for marketing and things like that. So we decided to meet up in Albany, lugged our big computers over there and set about putting a workshop together over a day or so, and presented that to them. And we were staying at a little unit development with a restaurant overlooking the Esplanade and the waterfront there. And Henry and I were having breakfast just as this pot of dolphins started to come in. And I had some snorkeling gear in the car. I never travelled without it, particularly when I was going near the coast. So I said, see you, Henry, I'm going. So I raced across the road, jumped in the water with my snorkel and fins and my mask, and swam with these dolphins for about 10 minutes. It was extraordinary.
How close were they?
I was on the top and they were coming underneath me, eyeballing me, and I would dive down and eyeball them up
the top. Special.
It was just absolutely amazing. Anyway, when they'd had enough of me, they just plodded off back out to the ocean. So I came out of the water and there was a group of people massed on the beach and they said, wow, how was that? How was that? And I said, it was absolutely fantastic, but don't you get this all the time down here? I said, we've never seen happen to anyone.
So you're a magnet.
Oh,
well, you drew them in.
Yeah, dolphin magnet, yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, so Esperance, the beaches down there are just beautiful, aren't they?
Oh, Esperance is an absolute gem. And, you know, if anybody's thinking of, you've driven
down I've there? Got rallies in Esperance. I've been there quite a few times.
Yeah, and, you know, Wave Rock's a great place to stop off on the way.
Yes, exactly.
Because they've got the mineral spring pond there, which they discovered many, many years ago by accident. He was doing some excavation work and hit this spring, which are conjunction of two underwater springs, and the water in there is just like soap. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
We went to Hopetown, which is on the coast as well.
Yeah.
And if you've been to Hopetown, what a beautiful little spot that
lovely
is.
Lovely little spot.
Walking along the beaches, four-wheel driving again.
And the old pub down there, what is
it?
Yes,
we went for dinner there.
Pier or something like
right
that.
Right on the corner. Yeah, beautiful. Lovely meal of prawns there.
Because they actually had a lot of money spent on the town because of the mining in the area. You know, you've got Ravensthorpe and you've got Hopetown down on the coast. And, you know, it was a white picket fence around the footy and the cricket oval. It was just delightful.
Yeah. And the caravan parks is lovely. Yes, there's lots of nice housing. You can walk along the beach and then come up and then walk through all those new housing developments back into town.
Yeah.
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 And you've got Augusta. I mean, that's beautiful as well.
Augusta's lovely.
You know, you can stay at all the different caravan parks. And one of them, they've got all the stingrays coming up. You can almost feed them.
Down at Hamlin Bay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And out of Augusta, whale watching. Just absolutely spectacular.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Well, Albany's got that big history with whale watching too, haven't they? And that you can go down, I think, to the place where they still used to have, I think there's a museum or tours or something there.
Big, yeah, Whale World down there.
I
was actually lucky
enough
in the late 70s to visit it when it was working. And it was probably at the back end of that year when it stopped. So it was quite confronting. To see, confronting now,
yes.
At the time you go, wow, look at that. They're just chopping that whale to pieces with his giant saw, like a big bread knife.
Oh, luckily they've stopped all that.
So, it had an odour all to itself.
Well, there's places down there. I think there's one's called Murder Bay or something. They've got funny names. But
Murder Beach, I think it was. And that won an award for best beach or something somewhere recently. Nobody had ever heard of it.
Yes, I've been there. The name puts you off, but it is a beautiful beach.
And that's interesting thing with some of these online polls, that if enough people are amassed and all on song together, then they all vote for the one obscure beach and it wins. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, even Albany, right down the end, I think it's the King River. There's a beautiful caravan park down there as well.
Where the inlet
Middleton
is.
Beach.
Oyster Bay. Yeah,
yeah.
Oyster, yeah.
It's just so many places. Barry and I could talk forever, but it's time for us to go. Can't believe. We probably can talk for another hour, Barry, but we've been shoved off.
I tell you, my trip is done and dusted, if you get stuck again, I'm happy to come back and talk about it.
That'd be great.
Some of the highlights, you know, pitfalls about travelling with a caravan.
For
you
people to know about.
Caravan, so you've got luxury. You've got absolute luxury.
Well, we do have a shower and toilet. Thank goodness for that. But look, Barry and I will be back with you again sometime, I'm sure, and we're going to be enjoying our holidays. And I love talking about things on the travel show. But we have a guest coming in the next month, got all that sorted. Actually, I've got guests right through until September. So lots to listen to on the travel show. Thank you very much for your company today. Thank you so much, Barry, for coming in.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Always love to talk to you. And Cambo's going to be on now with his show. Please stay tuned to 89.7. Have a great day. Bye for now.
Are you looking for a gift for that special person in your life? Maybe for an anniversary, a loyal employee, or a birthday, or graduation. Whatever the reason, station sponsor Grazie Gifts have a massive range of gift basket and hamper options to suit all occasions. So, to choose the right gift for that special person and order online, visit grazie.com.au. That's grazie.com.au. Every year, hundreds of schools around WA have their school photos taken by a specialist school photographer. And Capture Photography has been doing this for over 17 years. No other school photographer puts as much effort into providing WA's highest quality photographic products. If you are part of a school management team, a PNC member, or even a parent wanting the very finest school photos, get in touch with the team at capture.com.au. That's Capture with a K. Station sponsor.
Station sponsor City of Joondalup Leisure Centre Craigie is conveniently open 7 days a week, excluding some public holidays, ensuring they cater for the busiest